What happens when someone tries to usurp power and authority and seize the reins of control? This is what Adonijah, David's son, tried to do. He set himself up to steal the kingship right out from under King David's nose. He assumed power and took the authority reins into his own hands. This has happened recently in our own culture. We saw that in the time of Biden, when he was the president, there were aides close to him that used the auto pen to sign executive orders concerning the border, concerning climate change, and even signing orders for pardons using the auto pen without Biden's knowledge, permission, or blessing. What happens when a person usurps authority and power? Listen in as we unpack this topic. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 6th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Numbers 4, 1 to 20. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Record the names of the members of the clans and families of the Kohathite division of the tribe of Levi. List all the men between the ages of 30 and 50 who are eligible to serve in the tabernacle. The duties of the Kohathites at the tabernacle will relate to the most sacred objects. When the camp moves, Aaron and his sons must enter the tabernacle first to take down the inner curtain and cover the Ark of the Covenant with it. Then they must cover the inner curtain with fine goatskin leather and spread over that a single piece of the blue cloth. Finally, they must put the carrying poles of the ark in place. Next, they must spread a blue cloth over the table where the bread of the presence is displayed, and on the cloth they will place the bowls, pans, jars, pitchers, and the special bread. They must spread a scarlet cloth over all of this, and finally a covering of the fine goatskin leather on top of the scarlet cloth. Then they must insert the carrying poles into the table. Next, they must cover the lampstand with a blue cloth, along with its lamps, lamp snuffers, trays, and special jars of olive oil. Then they must cover the lampstand and its accessories with fine goatskin leather and place the bundle on a carrying frame. Next, they must spread a blue cloth over the gold incense altar and cover this cloth with a fine goatskin leather. Then they must attach the carrying poles to the altar. They must take all the remaining furnishings of the sanctuary and wrap them in a blue cloth, cover them with the fine goatskin leather, and pass them on the carrying frame. They must remove the ashes from the altar for sacrifices and cover the altar with a purple cloth. All the altar utensils, the fire pans, meat forks, shovels, basins, and all the containers must be placed on the cloth, and a covering of the goatskin leather must be spread over them. Finally, they must put the carrying poles in place. The camp will be ready to move when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the sacred articles. The Kohathites will come and carry these things to the next destination. But they must not touch the sacred objects or they will die. So these are the things from the tabernacle that the Kohathites must carry. Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, will be responsible for the oil of the lampstand, the fragrant incense, the daily grain offering, and the anointing oil. In fact, Eleazar will be responsible for the entire tabernacle and everything in it, including the sanctuary and its furnishings. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Do not let the Kohathite clans be destroyed from among the Levites. This is what you must do so they will live and not die when they approach the most sacred objects. Aaron and his sons must always go in with them and assign a specific duty or load to each person. The Kohathites must never enter the sanctuary to look at the sacred objects for even a moment, or they will die." 1 Kings 1, 1-53. Now David was very old, and no matter how many blankets covered him, he could not keep warm. So his advisors told him, "We will find a young virgin who will wait on you and be your nurse. She will lie in your arms and keep you warm." So they searched throughout the country for a beautiful girl, and they found Abishag from Shunem and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she waited on the king and took care of him. But the king had no sexual relations with her. About that time, David's son Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, decided to make himself king in place of his aged father. So he provided himself with chariots and horses and recruited 50 men to run in front of him. Now his father, King David, had never disciplined him at any time, even by asking, "What are you doing?" Adonijah was a very handsome man and had been born next after Absalom. Adonijah took Joab, son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar the priest into his confidence, and they agreed to help him become king. But among those who remained loyal to David and refused to support Adonijah were Zadok the priest, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and David's personal bodyguard. Adonijah went to the stone of Zoheleth near the spring of En-Rogel, where he sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened calves. He invited all his brothers, the other sons of King David, and all the royal officials of Judah. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, or Benaiah, or the king's bodyguard, or his brother Solomon. Then Nathan the prophet went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, and asked her, "Did you realize that Haggith's son Adonijah has made himself king, and that our lord David doesn't even know about it? If you want to save your own life and the life of your son Solomon, follow my counsel. Go at once to King David and say to him, 'My lord, didn't you promise me that my son Solomon would be the next king and would sit upon your throne? Then why has Adonijah become king? And while you are still talking with him, I will come and confirm everything you have said.' So Bathsheba went into the king's bedroom. He was very old now, and Abishag was taking care of him. Bathsheba bowed low before him. 'What can I do for you?' he asked her. She replied, 'My lord, you vowed to me by the Lord your God that my son Solomon would be the next king and would sit on your throne. But instead, Adonijah has become the new king, and you do not even know about it. He has sacrificed many oxen, fatlings, fattened calves, and sheep, and he has invited all your sons and Abiathar the priest and Joab, the commander of the army. But he did not invite your servant Solomon. And now, my lord, the king, all Israel is waiting for your decision as to who will become king after you. If you do not act, my son Solomon and I will be treated as criminals as soon as you are dead.' While she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet arrived. The king's advisors told him, 'Nathan the prophet is here to see you.' Nathan went in and bowed low before the king. He asked, 'My lord, have you decided that Adonijah will be the next king and that he will sit on your throne? Today he has sacrificed many oxen, fattened calves, and sheep, and he has invited your sons to attend the celebration. He also invited Joab, the commander of the army, and Abiathar the priest. They are feasting and drinking with him and shouting, "Long live King Adonijah!" But I myself, your servant, was not invited. Neither were Zadok the priest, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, nor Solomon. Has my lord really done this without letting any of his servants know who should be the next king?" "Call Bathsheba," David said. So she came back in and stood before the king. And the king vowed, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has rescued me from every danger, today I decree that your son Solomon will be the next king and will sit on my throne, just as I swore to you before the Lord, the God of Israel." Then Bathsheba bowed low before him again and exclaimed, "May my lord King David live forever." Then King David ordered, "Call Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." When they came into the king's presence, the king said to them, "Take Solomon and my officers down to Gihon Spring. Solomon is to ride on my personal mule. There Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet are to anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpets and shout, Long live King Solomon! When you bring him back here, he will sit on my throne. He will succeed me as king, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Amen. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, replied, May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, decree it to be so. And may the Lord be with Solomon as he has been with you, and may he make Solomon's reign even greater than yours. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, and the king's bodyguard took Solomon down to Gihon Spring, and Solomon rode on King David's personal mule. There Zadok the priest took a flask of olive oil from the sacred tent and poured it on Solomon's head. Then the trumpets were blown, and all the people shouted, Long live King Solomon! And all the people returned with Solomon to Jerusalem, playing flutes and shouting for joy. The celebration was so joyous and noisy that the earth shook with the sound. Adonijah and his guests heard the celebrating and shouting just as they were finishing their banquet. When Joab heard the sound of trumpets, he asked, What's going on? Why is the city in such an uproar? And while he was still speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the priest, arrived. Come in, Adonijah said to him, for you are a good man. You must have good news. Not at all, Jonathan replied. Our lord, King David, has just declared Solomon king. The king sent him down to Gihon Spring with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, protected by the king's bodyguard. They had him ride on the king's own mule, and Zadok and Nathan have anointed him as the new king. They have just returned, and the whole city is celebrating and rejoicing. That's what all the noise is about. Moreover, Solomon is now sitting on the royal throne as king. All the royal officials went to King David and congratulated him, saying, May your God make Solomon's fame even greater than your own, and may Solomon's kingdom be even greater than yours. Then the king bowed his head in worship as he laid in his bed, and he spoke these words, Blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel, who today has chosen someone to sit on my throne while I am still alive to see it. Then all of Adonijah's guests jumped up in panic from the banquet table and quickly went their separate ways. Adonijah himself was afraid of Solomon, so he rushed to the sacred tent and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Word soon reached Solomon that Adonijah had seized the horns of the altar and that he was pleading, Let Solomon swear today that he will not kill me. Solomon replied, If he proves himself to be loyal, he will not be harmed. But if it does not, he will die. So King Solomon summoned Adonijah, and they brought him down from the altar. He came and bowed low before the king, and Solomon dismissed him, saying, Go on home. Acts 4:1-37. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to them. They were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming, on the authority of Jesus, that there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, jailed them until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so that the number of believers totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, By what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Leaders and elders of our nation, are we being questioned because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed in the name and power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, the man you crucified, but from whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. where they could see that they were ordinary men who had had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since the man who had been healed was standing right there among them, the council had nothing to say. So they sent Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny they have done a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But perhaps we can stop them from spreading their propaganda. We'll warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and told them never again to speak or teach about Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices in prayer. "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor King David, your servant, saying, 'Why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. This is what has happened here in this city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. In fact, everything they did occurred according to your eternal will and plan. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. All the believers were of one heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had, and the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all. There was no poverty among them, because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those in need. Psalm 124, 1-8. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive because of their burning anger against us. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Blessed be the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Proverbs 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. I want to speak to today from our reading for 1 Kings chapter 1. And we are in a time of transition in this chapter. King David is getting very old. And there's going to be another king to take his place. Now, a long time ago, David had promised Bathsheba that their son Solomon would be the next king. But we have this brewing conspiracy going on. And there's another son by the name of Adonijah. He's the younger brother of Absalom. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Now his father, King David, had never disciplined him, Adonijah, at any time, even by asking, 'What are you doing?' Adonijah was a very handsome man and had been born next after Absalom. So here we see the weakness of David, that not only did he not discipline Absalom, he also did not discipline ever Adonijah. So now Adonijah has decided he's going to hatch a plan, and he wants to become the next king, and he's going to go behind his father's back and have a party and celebrate and gather all the people around and just go ahead and usurp that role. Just go ahead and take it. And so this goes on in chapter 1, verse 25. Nathan the prophet goes in to see the king, and he went in and he bows low before the king, and he asked, "My lord, have you decided that Adonijah will be the next king and that he will sit on your throne? Today he has sacrificed many oxen, fattened calves and sheep, and he's invited your sons to attend the celebration. He also invited Joab, the commander of the army, and Abiathar, the priest. They are feasting and drinking with him and shouting, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But I myself, your servant, was not invited. Neither was Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, nor Solomon. Has my lord really done this without letting any of his servants know who should be the next king?" So I want to relate this to a situation that's going on right now in our culture. Just this week in the news, I'm looking at some headlines about some underhanded things that went on during the Biden regime. It has to do with Biden and the so-called auto pen with an automated signature. And so I'm looking at one article in Axios.com. The headline reads, "Trump rants about Biden and the auto pen." It goes on to say, "President Trump on Tuesday speculated that former President Biden's aides may have used the auto pen to enact less stringent border policies without Biden's knowledge. Trump's comments signal a line of attack that he and his supporters are likely to employ against Democrats amid intensifying questions about the former president's health while he was in office with his mental decline." And so the auto pen was used apparently for a lot of different executive orders. In a different news headline, FoxNews.com, the headline reads, "Watchdog finds no evidence that Biden knew of crucial climate executive orders and demands answers on who signed with the auto pen." It goes on to say, "A pro-energy group is renewing its call for an investigation into over half a dozen Biden administration executive actions related to climate that it believes should be deemed null and void due to them being signed by an auto pen without any public comment from former President Joe Biden confirming his knowledge of them." And so here we have his close aides usurping authority, using an auto pen, which is automatic, an automatic signature, to sign into law executive orders concerning the border, concerning climate change, and possibly even for issuing pardons for people that were in prison without Biden's knowledge or consent or authority. Now that is truly usurping authority and using him as a puppet, a shadow, and then other people working behind him to usurp that power and authority. And this is similar to what Adonijah here is trying to do by installing himself as the next king without David's permission, without his knowledge, without his granting that authority. It's similar. And so this is one of the weaknesses of King David, was that he did not discipline his sons. And we have the whole Absalom mess, where Absalom was a murderer and he took matters in his own hands. And David did not handle that situation well at all. And ultimately, Absalom tries to usurp David and overthrow him as the king. And now we have the younger brother, Adonijah, trying to become the next king in succession to King David. So finally, Nathan the prophet goes to the king and says, "Hey, is this really what you want?" And then David, with the wake-up call from his prophet, instead he installs Solomon to be the next king and corrects the course of action there. So the next thing I want to look at is in chapter four of Acts. And in chapter four, we read in verse 32. Well, let's back up to verse 29. They're praying a prayer. And here is how they're praying. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Send your healing power, and may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. And this next verse I find just absolutely remarkable. All the believers were of one heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had, and the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all. There was no poverty among them, because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. So, in socialism or communism, the government takes the role of God and the Holy Spirit, and the government tries to institute, common community property and equalizing all the income out. And the government is trying to do this through socialism or communism. But the difference being here is that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding the believers. And so those who had much sold a house or two and gave it to the apostles, and then they distributed it to those who had need, and there were none in poverty. This is amazing. And the building shook where they were meeting after they prayed, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That is one powerful prayer meeting. How I would like to be in a prayer meeting with that kind of presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So be encouraged. And as you take time this week to press in and get into the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, may you be lifted up. May the wind of the Holy Spirit lift you up, so that you can soar under the wings of the Almighty, the eagle's wings of the Almighty. May you soar and ride on his back, and may he guide you. May you glide and soar in the Spirit and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Vish mereka Yahya Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Isa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.